time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we wake up with the Saturday morning sun, plop down the living room for the big world show. You're here on one of your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And this morning, we watched Bionic 6.
Bionic 6.
What were they saying?
Super Future Family.
That's what it was.
The theme song reminds me of if Family Matters or Step by Step or one of those old sitcom shows from the early 90s. If that was a team of superheroes,
right? If they were bionic,
yeah, that would be the theme song to that TV show.
So it's Bionic Family Matters,
right? It would show that Bionic Family Matters. I like it. Yeah. You'd see that a bunch of superheroes on a roller coaster, shooting lasers out of their eyes, but having a good time.
Yeah, when days go by, and then people shooting lasers at each other and flying through there.
You see the brothers shoot lasers at the sister's ice cream cone and melt it.
Yeah.
And then she puts her hands on her hips and frowns oh, you.
Yeah. Just crosses her arms.
Right.
I think we just made the perfect show.
I think we did too. You know, there's got to be a nosy neighbor somewhere trying to figure out their secret.
Yeah, it's are they bionic or are they not? I don't know.
That would be Dr. Scarab, who lives next door. Our neighbor Scarab.
Yeah. He's also a cross-dresser.
Right.
But we'll get into that. Who suggested this show, by the way?
This was suggested by Daniel via Facebook. This is the same Daniel who suggested Mask, Mobile Armored Strike Command. So thanks, Daniel.
Yes, thank you, Danley.
Danley?
Messed up, Danley. Yes, thank you, Daniel, because Mask was still one of my favorite shows that we watched because of that kid, the drunk kid, to get the...
You drive!
Yeah.
I love it.
Perfect. All right, so the show Bionic 6 ran in 1987. It was written by Gordon Bresic, Craig Miller, and Mark Nelson, produced by TMS Entertainment, who also did animation work for Batman the Animated Series, DuckTales, and Animaniacs, just to name a few. This was a really big Tokyo-based animation company, and they also produced a few shows, this being one of them. Ran for two seasons, 65 episodes on the USA Network and syndication during the first run. For a short synopsis, a family of cyborg superheroes fights evil around the world.
That is a short synopsis.
But it's accurate.
I can't say words.
Synopsis.
It is accurate, though.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely, it's short and sweet to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris, I guess we're going to be doing that the whole episode. Yeah. Who are some of the actors who played in this show?
Okay, so Professor Amadeus Sharp was voiced by Alan Oppenheimer, who you will know as Skeletor in He-Man and She-Ra. The voice of Jack Bennett, a.k.a. Bionic One, was John Stephenson, who was also the voice of Dr. Quest in Johnny Quest, Mr. Slate in The Flintstones, and Doggy Daddy. Oh, God, that sounds awful now. Doggy Daddy in all things Hanna-Barbera, as well as Thundercracker from Transformers. The voice of Helen Bennett, a.k.a. Mother One, was Carol Bilger. The voice of Eric Bennett, a.k.a. Sport One, was Hal Rail, who was the voice of Snarl from Transformers, Bonehead in Toxic Crusaders, and he was Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles after Rob Paulsen left. The voice of Meg Bennett, or Rock One, was Samantha Paris, also known as Bobby Block, and she was the voice of Roxy in Jim. The voice of J.D. Bennett, a.k.a. IQ, was Norman Bernard. The voice of Bunjiro Bungie Bennett, a.k.a. Karate One, was Brian Tochi, who was the voice of Leonardo in the second and third Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, and he was also the voice of Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. The voice of Fluffy, the robotic ape, I guess, was Neil Ross, who is actually the original voice of Keith and Pidge in the original Voltron. He was the voice of Mean Gene Okerlund from Hulk Hogan's Rocking Wrestling, which was one of the first cartoons that we watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was Springer in Transformers and Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. So lots of Transformers, lots of Mortal Kombat people in this group. The voice of Dr. Scarab was Jim McGeorge, who really hasn't done anything else, thank God. The voice of Mechanic was Frank Welker, who is in every episode we do, I think. You know, he's Megatron from Transformers. He's Fred from Scooby-Doo. He's everyone else from everything.
So for a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Bionic 6 cereal, Grosset and Dunlap Publishing produced a Bionic 6 Super Picture Book, a collection of color and black and white pinups of the Bionic 6, Dr. Sharp, Fluffy, and Scarab's team. A Bionic 6 comic book advertised mid-1988 for forthcoming release by independent publisher New Comics Group never materialized. So it was going to be a comic, but it wasn't. Yeah.
Weird. Did it say why?
No.
They're just like, you know what? We don't care anymore. Let's not worry about it.
They just lost interest. But I guess because at that point, the series was over since it started and ended in 1987. And this was 88 that it was advertised. They're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's bring Bionic 6 back. And then everyone was like, nah, that's not a great idea. And lastly, renowned Japanese animation director Osamu Dezaki was involved as a chief supervising director, and his distinctive style that was also seen in Golgo 13 and Cobra, which I don't know what those are, but I heard they're very well animated cartoons, is evident throughout all the episodes. And I would agree with that. I think the animation was pretty superb in this series, especially for what it was.
The animation was pretty good for the time.
For a crazy 80s show about a bionic family.
Right.
I was expecting like Filmation quality animation for something like this.
But nope, it wasn't.
Yeah, like I feel like they could have done the voice that they did for the villain in the Ghostbusters cartoon for Dr. Scarab, and it would have been pretty interchangeable here.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, what memories do you have of this show, if any?
I have none. I had never heard of it before this was suggested, so I got nothing to say.
Kind of same here. Like, up until I actually watched the show, I still didn't believe it existed.
You're like, even looking it up, you're like, this isn't real.
It didn't seem real to me. Like, I feel like I maybe had heard of it, but then I thought it was something else. And then when I actually looked it up and saw it, I was like, okay, no, this isn't what I thought it might have been at all. So it didn't exist to me.
I just, like, I kind of figured, just from Daniel's last request being masked, that this was going to be something similar, like a character-based adventure series. And I was right. I mean, in that respect.
It's about a family. There's that.
Excuse me. They're not just a family. It's a super future family.
All right. So the future part, is it just because they're cybernetic?
Are they cybernetic? We don't actually know because they don't ever tell us.
I'm sorry, bionic?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't even know what bionic means, man. They don't even tell us what that means. They're like, yeah, we got to make them bionic, but they don't say what that is.
Yeah.
The second episode, I'm going to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have a lot of questions about the second episode.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Me too.
So. Let's jump into the three episodes we watched for today's show. The very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random most chosen episode. Or it may vary depending on how this episode falls chronologically, but of course, we have to start with the very first episode, being Valley of Shadows, Season 1, Episode 1. Explorer Brent Holworth returns to the Valley of... Explorer Brent Holt... Stupid name. Explorer...
Yeah, get mad at
Explorer
the name.
Explorer Brent Holworth returns from the Valley of Shadows, a hidden jungle valley where it is rumored that the inhabitants never age. That's literally what happened at the very beginning.
Like, it didn't work for him because that guy aged.
He clearly didn't figure out the secret.
Yeah, he looks like a man.
He's digging through the jungle, coming, and he reaches a civilization of some sort, and he's just like, the Valley of Shadows. Metal shines or something.
Yeah, and
then
it
collapses.
Like cuts to a different scene and I don't understand. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And then
it's an interesting way to start it.
Yeah. And then like it cuts to them talking with Professor Sharp. When Professor Sharp's talking, his head is going everywhere. I mean, like it's like he is having a seizure or something on video as he talks. And I was like, what is happening to his head? Like, he was just way too enthusiastic or something. I don't know.
Oh, we get to see the robot gorilla who's in this, Fluffy.
Oh, yeah. Fluffy.
Did you know Fluffy was an acronym?
I did, but I didn't know what it stood for.
I don't either. But I was just wondering if you knew. I literally didn't know it was an acronym until I read the description today at some point.
Oh, okay. Well, I just knew it because when I was looking up the voice actors, you know, it was,
that makes sense.
You know, spelled with periods in between every letter. But like, I have not seen what it stands for. So if anyone knows, let us know, because I'm interested to know. Otherwise, I'm going to have to come up with my own.
I bet one of those F stands for future.
Yeah, I bet so.
And maybe family.
That's the second F.
The other ones, I have no idea. That's a lot of letters for an acronym.
Right. Yeah, it is.
So what we learned from the beginning is that the dad is like he cooks healthy things, and the kids think that's one of his superpowers. Apparently he's a cook, but he cooks healthy food that the kids don't even like, really. Apparently, like, there's some kind of fondue or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was that they said he was cooking, but
yeah,
nobody
they
wanted
it. Fondue.
Yeah, and then they had Fluffy smell it, and he's like, ugh, like, no, I don't even want this.
He doesn't even have taste buds.
No.
He's a robot.
But he's disgusted by it. So yeah. I don't know if, like, I didn't know then if the dad was supposed to be, like, a bad cook or what, but apparently he's just a health freak, and they don't much care for it.
Well, and that wasn't even food. It was, like, sea algae.
Right, that was the mom, CLG.
The mother, she just really likes it, I guess. I mean, they didn't say if she's like a scientist or anything. She's just like, oh, that's my CLG.
No, she's just a mom. Like,
yeah, I'm like,
that, I mean, that's her bionic name is Mother One. Like, she doesn't even get a cool power.
Everyone she's gets a code, like a code name for like that's supposed to kind of describe them a little bit. well, I mean, yeah.
Well, wait. What is a Oh, I guess JD's is IQ because he's smart. He doesn't get like a bionic name.
They didn't give him a one, because everyone else has a one next to their name except him. They're
he's
just
not
like
IQ
no one.
One. He's just IQ.
He's too smart, so they're like, you don't even need numbers, man.
Yeah.
But then we have okay. So like this family, you have Bionic One, who's the dad. You have Mother One, self-explanatory. Sport One is their eldest boy. I don't know. Like, you can't really tell because they all look like they're in their 20s, yeah. Even though they're clearly supposed to be teenagers.
Let's lay it out first that they're obviously this family has been, I'm not sure if the two children who are the same color as the parents are biological they're all adopted.
They all have blonde hair. So okay. I feel like they're supposed to be like the biological kids, but there's two adopted kids too.
Right. So there's the Asian kid and the African-American kid who are clearly adopted, but one of them is one of them takes on like such a stereotype.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy with the way they went with the black kid where he's the smartest, he's IQ. It's like, great. That's a great positive thing to put on him. But then the Asian is just like, this guy knows karate. That's his thing.
The Asian guy is Karate One because he's the Asian guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, are you serious? That's the first thing I learned about this show, and I started laughing hysterically. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That's what made me look forward to this show was Karate One.
Yeah. So the white boy, who I think is supposed to be the oldest, but like I said, I can't tell because they all look the same age. His name is Sport One because he likes sports and he wears a baseball helmet at all times.
So they
makes
all have
a
like,
lot of sports puns.
They all have like powers and stuff, but is his power that he's
good at sports?
Good at sports? Yeah.
I think that's it. Because like, literally, there's an episode where he deflects a laser bolt with a wooden baseball bat.
It's wonderful.
But then his sister, the girl, is Rock One, and that has nothing to do with her power because she's a speedster. She's super fast.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she has an actual superpower. She's not just good at rock and roll or whatever her Rock One stands for.
Yeah, I think she's Rock One because they're like, she could be rocking. Like, she likes rock music.
Yeah.
But everyone else, it has something to do with like what they are. Well, I guess hers doesn't make sense either. Mother One. I mean, she's a telepath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think they could have come up with like some more creative like code names, but whatever.
I feel like they were fine until they did Sports One.
And Karate One. We can talk about Dr. Scarab, who's the bad guy. He has like Botox injected into his lips, I think.
There's so many questions I have about Dr. Spear.
He's definitely wearing lipstick too.
I feel like he's either a crossdresser or maybe transgender at some point. I don't know, but he's got bright red lipstick on. Like, it's not just like, oh, it, you know, it's, he just has like, you know, bright lips. His lips are clearly covered in red lipstick.
Yeah.
And he's got like your basic doctor gear. Not even that. Like, he's, what are those things called on their heads? Like, well, the, yeah, big,
he has
silver,
the old doctor gear. Like, I mean, yeah, old stuff where he's got that little metal disc like on top of his head, like, right, on a headband. I don't even know what that is, man. Like, that was like, they weren't using that when we were kids. So I have no idea what that's supposed to be.
I'm not sure what that's for, but he has it. And he also, one of his eyes is also, I guess, cybernetic.
Maybe.
Seems like. Yeah.
They don't really explain that either.
No.
But
he's got some henchmen.
Yeah, he's got henchmen. He also has the worst voice like ever. Like, this guy was just straight phoning it in when he voiced Dr. Scarab. Like, he just kind of mumbles stuff and like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he really wants to be there.
I liked him as Dr. Scarab because of that, because I was like, oh, this, yeah, guy just sounds bored. Like, he's the most bored supervillain ever.
His laugh is really funny too. It's because it's so bad. It's super entertaining because of how bad it is.
His henchmen, I mean, I don't remember. I kind of do remember all their names actually. Mechanic is one of them, like you mentioned. And he's just good. He does machines, basically.
He's good with tools. That's the explanation. One guy's named Glove, I think.
Yep, Glove, just because Glove. He has a glove that shoots things, and he's purple.
There's Madame O.
Madam O, because she's mysterious.
Dr. Scarab says because of your was it like seductive and mysterious or something?
I think so.
And I'm like, what does that have to do with the name Madam O? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I didn't get the because part. I was like, well,
I was trying to explain this to my girlfriend, like, because we were on a road trip yesterday, and I was explaining it, and she was just like, is the O part supposed to be a sexual thing because she's a woman? I was like, I don't know, but it makes more sense than what they did.
I hope not, but I don't know at this point. I have no idea.
It's like Madam O.
The one I have reservations about is Clunk, because this is a PG rated show, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail as to why, to what I think Clunk is made of, but... But basically, he looks like melting glue, like Elmer's glue.
Yeah.
So think of a creamy white substance and imagine what he looks like on screen.
It's like a creamy white substance with eyes and a mouth. in somewhat of a shape of a human.
I like the way he named him, though, because he's like, your name's Clunk because why not? And that was it.
Right, exactly. You look like a clunk.
Yeah. So what, I mean, this goes more into the next episode, but we're going to mention it now just because we're introing everything.
Yeah.
The, all of these were like criminals and like, just people who, I don't know, just bad individuals.
Well, he called them all like losers.
Yeah.
He recruited a bunch of losers and criminals.
Yeah. And they were willing to undergo transformation to become more powerful and to have a more comfortable life. But what he didn't tell them on the forefront was that they would also be his mind slaves so that he could control them as he saw fit.
Right.
So, but Clunk was his first one to experiment on, and he had the power, I guess, turned up too high or something. And it like literally started like melting him into a primordial ooze type thing.
his like reaction was like, oh, you look kind of ugly. Maybe I use a little too much power. You just stand over there and I'll just lower the power a little bit. And here we go.
Yeah.
It's so, just like, I mean, he's not concerned at all. He's just like, oh, well, all right, we'll just try again.
Learn from your mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's what happened with all of them. So back to the episode, we've got this medallion that this guy brought in is the key to opening, or a key to locating the Valley of Shadows, which gives immortality, supposedly. And Dr. Scarab has come and taken this guy hostage from the natives, and he's trying to threaten him and figure out what you know, what's happened to this medallion. And I think that the guy tells him basically that he gave it to like these other, to the Bionic Six or something.
IQ had the medallion and he's like, they're trying to figure out a way in. And he's like, oh, we could do this or this. And IQ is like, let's flip a coin, but I don't have a coin. I'll just flip the medallion. And apparently flipping the medallion like a coin is what you need to do to get into the secret city.
Because how convenient.
It hits the light just right and opens this doorway. So he goes in, but like, so then they got like ambushed by Scarab around that time. IQ gets inside. He meets the natives in here and they're just like, yeah, we knew you would come. And they're talking to him and stuff like that. And then they were talking about, you know, this man, Scarab, is going to come and try to like rule the power. He's going to steal our orb that like runs this whole shebang.
Well, no, they didn't even tell him like he was going to steal it. They were like, he already stole it. Like it's gone.
Oh, yeah. It's gone. He gets in there and meets this guy. And then like he literally had just escaped being ambushed by Scarab like not that long ago. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Dr. Scarab. I'm like, you literally just got away from him like not 10 minutes ago. How did you forget? Like, this is your guy's arch nemesis.
something that they keep leading on, at least the chief of the Valley of Shadows, Mamunda, he keeps making it seem like JD or IQ belongs there, or like he's a part of this tribe or something. Because the chief just kept saying, like, just remember you have a place here or something like that. And yeah, you belong here.
And like, I don't know, like for a while, like I was just like, oh, this is totally his dad or something. I don't know if that's the case, but they kept drawing a lot of like
parallel,
putting a lot of emphasis on that. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm glad it's not me just being racist or something.
No. I thought the same thing. I felt like they were really hinting at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We find out that Mamunda is the young warrior chief who'd been alive, got the gift of eternal life from this stone and had been alive for centuries. And they obviously needed to get the stone back or else they were all going to die off. He and his tribe that were living in the Valley of Shadows. In order to get the stone back, like he gives him this part. I was like, why? I don't get this part necessarily, but I kind of do, but I kind of don't, where they give him a replica of the medallion. So to me at the time, they were like, here's a fake medallion. This will save you. It's like, why are you giving him a replica of the medallion? Why not just let him keep the real thing? But then the way that it worked, they could have called it something like a reverse medallion or something.
Right.
Or anything else but the replica medallion, because that just makes it sound like it's a fake and it's not going to do anything. So I was like, wow, they're really not giving him a lot of help.
I was like, what is he going to do? Is he going to like swap it?
Yeah, is he going to
make Scarab think he has it? Or
going to pawn it or something?
I don't understand the point of that. But yeah, it just has the reverse. I don't know. It reverses the power of the stone that gives immortality.
That's the important part.
And so Scarab has this stone and he's just like, now that I'm immortal, I need all the money in the world. And I don't know. So he just starts robbing banks.
That's his drive. That's what's driving him. He's not, he doesn't want to take over. He just wants money, like a lot of it.
Costs money to be alive forever, I guess. Yeah. You know? So he can't just get a job where the money would keep going. He's got to steal it all.
They do load this show with a lot of puns. Like the heroes come in, especially Sports One. Oh my, like all of his stuff is referencing a sport of some kind.
Right, like batters up.
And it's just like the cheesiest things you can think of. But you're like, please, it was funny. It was definitely funny though.
Because Scarab had the stone and IQ had this reverse or the replica medallion, even though like it's the reverse medallion.
Right.
He uses it and it makes Scarab get older and takes away his immortality.
No. Hold on. Lead up to the part where he figures out what the stone does, because they don't tell him. They're just like, here, this will help you. And he's he's making this weird kind of like comparison in his head where he's like, or not in his, he's saying it out loud. He's like, night, day, light, dark, I get it. And then he just understands at that point that this is the reverse. The stone reverses those powers by making those assumptions. So he's lucky that he assumed right.
That's why he's IQ, man. He's smart.
There you go. Yeah, he figured it out.
He's so smart that things don't have to make any sense.
And he doesn't have to have any clues as to what they do. He can figure it out. In addition to the villains, like the henchmen that he already has that we mentioned earlier, of course there has to be disposable things that can be killed off, which are the robots. Like he has, Dr. Scarab has these robots that come in to be trash. Basically they're your foot soldiers or your, whatever from any other show.
You know, what's funny too, is Dr. Scarab at one time, like, shoots one of his own henchmen. I don't even remember why. He's just, I think it was Glove who said something and he just straight up shoots him. I was like, what the heck?
Because he was like talking back to him or something.
Yeah, he's just like, whatever. Boom. The end of this episode, like, this made me laugh because it was so awkward and made no sense. But it's like, IQ makes some sort of joke.
It goes back to kind of how the episode started food. With the dad's food. The kids don't appreciate it, whatever. And then so the dad asked JD, he's like, how about you, JD? Are you old enough to appreciate good cooking? And he's like, ugh, I wouldn't eat that stuff if I was 5,000 years old. And then then it cuts away, or then they do that laugh to end the episode, and then it cuts away to, or fades into Mamunda just nodding at the camera.
Smiling.
And smiling.
I was like, that, what? Like, yeah. I don't, what was the point? I don't understand.
There didn't need to be a point. It was amazing.
I'm so confused. I've never been so lost.
So the second episode we watched for today's show was Bionics On, The First Adventure, Season 1, Episode 10. And this one was chosen?
This was chosen by Daniel because it kind of gives the origin story of pretty much everything except for Fluffy. Like, he's never explained.
It doesn't even seem like the dad really understands Fluffy even. I'm assuming that Professor Sharp just made Fluffy and just gave it to him.
Probably.
And that's pretty much it.
He's like, you know what? You need some sort of anthropomorphic character. Here's a robot ape. So what's the synopsis of this episode?
So Jack Bennett has taken his family on a skiing trip to the Himalayas. During this trip, Jack is called on duty to investigate unusual magnetic readings. He encounters aliens who are trying to obtain Bertonium, a mineral that can increase bionic abilities and give eternal life to its possessor. I don't remember that part. I don't remember them mentioning Bertonium, I'll take it.
I don't think that was ever mentioned, honestly. And I don't think the eternal life thing was ever mentioned either.
I feel like it wasn't either. Like, I didn't know why the aliens were even there. Like,
no, that's not explained. It just happens.
Yeah, like, when I read that, I was like, did I miss something? I feel like the aliens were just there, and then they left. Like, that was it.
Oh, hang on. First, we gotta talk about what happened. There's some weird stuff at the beginning of this episode. The dad comes home at night, and he's like sneaking into everybody's bedrooms, like watching them sleep.
No.
Yeah. He wakes up his daughter and takes her headphones off because she was listening to headphones. Then he like walks in and looks at his like son sleeping. Then he walks into I assume is him and his wife's bedroom. But the only one sleeping in there is Fluffy. And I'm like, why is Fluffy like, why is he in their bedroom? Like, what? What? Yeah. It's weird. It's weird, man.
When he finally does find his wife, she's asleep on the couch and she had been watching, I guess, their anniversary video.
Yeah, the kids made them a video for well, that's the thing is, like, they don't even say, like, I don't know why she's watching it. They don't say if it's their anniversary in this episode. She's just watching it.
Oh, yeah. I was assuming it was, but.
Yeah, but they don't say it.
They never say it. No.
What? What is this?
So, well, I guess she wasn't asleep. She was awake watching it, and he joins her. And then it's like, this is how it manages to segue into the flashback of their origin story, because it's like, sometimes I miss the old days, like before we had powers and everything. Seems like so long ago. And then it's just like, fade into the past.
The family pre-superpowers, except for the dad, are like, in a kitchen eating and watching TV, and they're like, where's dad at? Blah, blah, blah. And the mom's like, oh, he's working. And then they're talking about like the superhero Bionic One on TV, like saving the world. And it's their dad. I mean, it's very obvious that it's their dad. He's not wearing a mask.
No, it's not even like a Clark Kent Superman thing, because the dad doesn't even wear glasses. He's just like, it's a dad without a bionic body and the dad with the bionic body. That's it.
It's very obvious that it's him.
Right.
So, how they don't know, I don't know, but the wife knows, but they're going to go on a ski trip where they're going skiing, like as a family vacation, a big old starfish lands from outer space and aliens come out of it. And these aliens are like, I don't know, like lizard yetis. I don't know.
Yeah. They're hairy lizard men.
Yeah. It's pretty weird.
what they're up in the Himalayas for is to test Professor Sharp's power skis.
Yes.
And the weird lizard people come in almost immediately. The family sees this black star imprint in the ground. They don't know what it is. And then while they're looking at it, lizard people try to crush them with a rock. Like they just push a rock down the hill just and start an avalanche and just try to crush everybody.
So they get in their tent or whatever, and this avalanche like comes down and buries them. And then the wife's like, I guess I got to find out someday. And he's like, all right, kids, bionics on. And then starts like rapidly digging through the snow. I'm like, is that one of his superpowers? He just digs really well. Like, I mean, he was digging like a dog digs, you know, with his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, such a sped up speed, it's ridiculous.
It should be noted that there is a transformation sequence also, but I think it's just the dad. Like, it just shows the dad's bionic skeleton. And then, like, even when it's all of them, I think it just the dad, it shows the dad's bionic skeleton. And that's it. Like, they only made time for him. And then it's like, okay, and this happens to everybody else too. So just know that.
So then we see Dr. Scarab has recruited his guys. And like we were talking about earlier, and he's doing like this process on some guys. So he's got some henchmen.
On the stuff. Worthless examples of humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, like he hated these people so much that he made them awesome.
Something funny that, so Dr. Scarab is basically like, I don't know, his teams are like ninjas, I guess, because they use this thing called a darkness grenade. And what it is, it's just like, all right, darkness grenade. They throw it and then they disappear. And all it is, it's literally like a bomb that just puts like black smoke everywhere and just makes it literally dark. So that's it.
Makes sense. Darkness grenade. They could just call it a smoke bomb.
It's in the name.
The editing in this episode was pretty bad. Like, especially in the scene where they're like, where they get trapped under the tent and he's digging them out and stuff, because it just jumps really quickly from thing to thing.
Yeah.
So maybe he doesn't dig as fast. I don't know. But it looked like he was digging pretty fast. But
I guess they just sped it up to in the interest of time. But the action scenes, again, are really cool. Like there were some fight scenes that the dad had with the lizard men and stuff that were.
Yeah.
Like really spot on. Like it's almost like if you think about the intro of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, where it's just awesome animation, like not the animation of the show itself, but the intro.
Yes.
Like that's kind of what this is almost on par with. And that's really saying a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Oh, we forgot to mention that. So when Dr. Scarab is naming his henchmen, he's basically like knighting them with a glowing drumstick.
Oh, that's right.
Like, I don't mean like chicken. I mean like a drumstick from like a drum set.
Yeah.
But it glows and sparkles. And he's like tapping them on the shoulders as he says their names.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, kneeling and stuff before him. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And their thing that they do is they cross their arm across their chest and say, Hail Scarab. Like, that's their.
Hail Scarab.
Yeah.
There's another avalanche. And the family gets buried again. This time not in a tent. They just get buried. And the dad is fine. But this avalanche makes all of his family go into a coma and turn blue.
So, well, because of the alien radiation or something. Now, here's a question that I had. This radiation, did it give them superpowers? Or did it just make it to where it poisoned them and they had to get bionics, which... And the bionics are what gave them superpowers.
I think the explanation is that their bodies are going to stay like that forever unless they become bionic. So he piles them, like all of his family, he piles them all up on his shoulders, like just stacks them.
All five of them on his shoulders.
He walks them out. He gets them to Professor Sharp's place. The Professor Sharp basically explains, like, the only way to wake them up is to turn them bionic.
And no, he doesn't say that. He says the only way to wake them up is to bionicize your family.
Bionicize them. And
yeah.
And Bionic One, the dad, is just like, no, it's too unpredictable. And I'm like, it is? Like, since when?
It seems to be working for you pretty well.
Yeah, they haven't had any hints that, you know, there's a downside to it yet. And there's some weird stuff here, too. So, like, they put them in this little machine and stuff, and then Bionic One and Professor Sharp are, like, talking, and the family walks out, and they're, like, suited up and all kinds of stuff, And both the professor and the dad look shocked that they're up and they're totally fine. But I'm like, how did they get the time to like know what was done to them and like create these cool costumes for themselves before walking out there and revealing that they're okay?
Is that part of their bionics also, is like they can, they're costume designers as well?
Sport One like really quickly was just like, I need to create a baseball helmet. And then,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he does have a baseball hat on the whole time, too.
Yeah, he always has it on. And that's the thing. What makes them bionic? Like, I don't understand what bionic is supposed to mean. Because if I hear someone's bionic, I assume, you know, it's like a cyborg thing. Like, they have, like, some enhanced parts to them. Like, so, like, I don't know. Like, maybe they got, like, a metal arm or something like that. Like, that's what I think of. But this, they just put them in, like, a little, I don't know, it was like a big Petri dish that spun around or something. And all of a sudden they're bionic. Oh, yeah. I'm like, did you replace bones with metal parts or something? What happened? Like, I don't understand it.
Like, what is IQ's power? Like, he was already smart. Is he smarter now?
And he has a little bit of super strength. Actually, you know what? Okay. He's got more super strength than his dad has.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they don't even say that. It's just like, there's, they go back to that, the alien place to keep Dr. Scarab from, you know, doing whatever the heck he's trying to do. They're fighting Dr. Scarab's henchmen, and one of the henchmen, like, just shrugs off a blow from Bionic One, and then IQ, like, picks him up and throws him across the snow.
He's
gonna be stronger than his dad, I guess. Or maybe it is a smart thing, like, you can't punch the guy, so just pick him up and throw him.
So they do have super strength, I guess. Karate One, is it the same thing, or is he just better at karate?
They don't say anything about him having powers. He just does karate. That's it. That's it. Like, they don't have any displays of him having super strength or speed or anything. He just knows karate. Maybe that's his power. He didn't know karate before, and now he does.
That's why I just had questions about it, and I was thinking maybe I didn't pay attention or something, but I just don't think they explained it.
Oh, we forgot one of the henchmen. I don't remember his name, but one of the henchmen just makes motorcycle noises when he talks. Do you remember that?
Chopper, yes.
Chopper, that's right. He's like, I'm going to get you.
So the villains are great.
So we get all this origin stuff, but they don't tell us where Fluffy came from.
No one cares about Fluffy, apparently.
You know, he is not nearly as prominent as I thought he would be in these episodes.
He comes in very rarely, and he's not really in the fights much at all either.
No, he's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe he's their stay-at-home pet.
Maybe. But so the Black Star starts acting up again, and that's when they're like, that's when the dad's like, I guess I have to go back, and everybody comes out, like you said, and it's like, not without us. And then they're a team. It's like, all right, I guess we're all going together. We're a family, blah, blah, blah. Super future family. And so they return to the Himalayas, and they have to keep it a secret, of course, that they're all bionic. They haven't explained that. But then they're like, well, let's talk about it another time when we're not, you know, in the middle of a battle.
Right, and, exactly.
Yeah, you've got Chopper making his noises. Someone's like, nice girls don't play with guns, when they're talking to that Madam O.
Yeah, it was Rock One, the sister.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, nice girls don't play with guns. That's why she has a gun, because she's the bad guy.
Yeah, you know, she's not a bad girl.
The banter needs a little work there.
The Black Star ends up, I think you already said it, but it's an alien spacecraft, and the aliens are just bored, or they're done with whatever they were gathering. So they're like, all right, well, we're done. And they just get up and leave. Like, they're not defeated. They just leave. They just literally.
We're like, well, they're distracted. Let's just get out of here. And like, we still don't know why the aliens were there. It was never explained. We don't know why they landed, what they were doing, why they left. There's absolutely no reason for them to be there other than they were a plot point.
Well, they were apparently trying to gather Bertonium, but
I guess. We wouldn't know that aside from the description.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't think I missed it. I don't think it was mentioned in there.
I don't think so either, because I didn't hear it either. So
yeah, I don't know. But anyway, the aliens leave, and then it goes back to the present where they are still watching this anniversary video. And at the end of the video, the kids wish them a happy anniversary, and that's it. Like, that was that.
That's it. That's
the intro. But it was a good intro, aside from some things where it's not specific enough, I guess, or it doesn't describe enough of what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
But the third episode we watched for today's show is The Perceptor File, Season 1, Episode 20, which was also chosen by Daniel.
This was chosen by Daniel, too, because the last two episodes we watched were both the highest rated episodes. It was the first episode was the highest rated on one of the websites we usually check. And the origin story, the one that Daniel had chosen previously, was the highest rated one on the other website we usually check. So he had listed this as a backup if we couldn't watch the origin story one. So I'm like, whatever, we'll just watch them both.
I'm glad we did, actually, because I really liked this episode.
This one was done way better than the other two. Like,
yeah,
everything about it was more solid. The story, the dialogue, the animation, the everything looked better.
Yeah, it's such a cool episode. But
yeah.
In this one, a strange man calling himself the Perceptor declares a one-man war on technology. That's all I'm going to say about it, because we'll talk about the rest. So it starts out with this person sneaking around. He's a guy in a mask. It kind of looks like...
He's basically just wearing a motorcycle helmet. I mean...
Kind of, but it's like Cobra Commander's second mask, like the blue one with the glass over it.
Yeah.
But except I think it's purple in this guy's case. Yeah, but So he's sneaking around and he throws a grenade or a bomb into this window of this factory and runs off and it explodes. And he says that, like, his line is, "Humanity shall prevail, so swears the Perceptor." And that's his thing.
He says that a lot.
He does say that a lot, but that's our first time to hear it. And we're like, huh, what does this mean at this point?
Yeah. And then the family finds out about this Perceptor person, like, because on the news and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, somebody's got to stop him. Professor Sharp's like, "Did you say the Perceptor?" And they're like, "Yeah, we got to stop him." And he's like, "Everyone stay away from it. Like, don't ask any questions, but you stay away. Don't even think about it." And he gets all crabby and stuff. I'm like, wow, that's not suspicious at all.
Yeah.
Plus, we find out in we forgot to mention it in the last episode, but Dr. Scarab is Professor Sharp's brother. So he's already got like something seedy, you know, kind of in the past, and that his brother is like the worst person ever. But now, like, he's, like, trying to keep them away from this criminal that's, like, blowing up buildings and, you know, hasn't killed anyone yet, but that doesn't mean he's not going to.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I mean, I was wrong, but let me tell you what my first thought was when he was so defensive about it.
I bet I know what it is, and I bet it's the same as mine.
Probably. My first thought was that the Perceptor was his son.
Oh, yeah.
Who he had experimented on or who had gone through this bionics experiment, and it for some reason had failed in some way, and I didn't know what exactly had happened, but my assumption was that was his son.
That was my assumption also. I was like, this is totally gonna be his son, and we were wrong, which I'm very surprised that we were wrong, because it just went in a completely different direction.
Everything leading up to it felt like it was going to be his son. How defensive he was, and just how protective he was, even like in private when no one was around him, when he was just talking about it. But we were wrong, and it's not necessarily to say that they made the wrong choice. It's just like they went a different direction than I thought they were going to go.
They didn't go the obvious route, so I gotta give them kudos for that.
Exactly.
So he's trying to keep them away from going after the Perceptor. So instead, they come up with this brilliant idea of making a fake commercial where they're like some sort of technology institute, and they put it on cable TV so that he comes to them and tries to blow up their building, and then they try to trap him, which does not work, because he was just like, man, that guy bounces all over the place. He was jumping and flipping over everybody, and they just could not catch the guy.
He is literally like a ninja. He's way better at martial arts or at karate than Karate One is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Karate One should change his name. They would just change it to like Asian One or something. Just to stick with his stereotype. Poor guy. And then it shows like later after that, like Sharp is talking to Perceptor via, I don't know, Skype or something, just through a computer. And like the mom and dad walk in on him. They're like, "What's going on?" And he gets all defensive. He's like, "What? What did you hear?" Like, you know, like he was doing something pervy that he got caught or something.
Yeah. "How long have you been there? What did you see? What did you hear? What do you have lotion in here, Professor Sharp?"
Yes, exactly. No reason. Don't ask any questions. Go away. And I was like, wow, they're working together. That's messed up. So, I mean, the dad is just blatantly tells Sharp. He's like, "We know he's got something over you. Tell us what it is." And he's like, "No, like, I'll take care of this myself." And he ends up getting the Perceptor ends up kidnapping and trapping the professor and bringing like all these bombs to him, gets the family to show up. they have to disarm. Like, I guess his plan was just to go ahead and kill them all. I don't know. I mean, he kind of like later is kind of like, oh, I would never kill anybody sort of thing. But there, I mean, he literally had a bombs rigged to a human being. So,
yeah,
I feel like killing people was definitely on his list of things to do.
Yeah, I think at one point he even said, he was like, I haven't killed anyone yet, but, you know, I can make exceptions, or I can make an exception point, or there's a first time for everything, something like that.
The family has to disarm all the bombs. Of course they do, because otherwise we wouldn't have a show anymore.
Oh, wait, hold on. To disarm the bombs, this is where Mother One comes in handy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she's not just telepathic. She's also, like, whatever it is when you can understand machinery, whatever.
Mechanopath?
Right.
Technopath. Technopath. That's the actual term.
That sounds awesome. Is that real? Is that a real
thing? Yeah, it's a technopath. There's like other like existing heroes, like Forge from the X-Men would be a technopath, and Micah from Heroes would be a technopath.
She's a telepath and a technopath because she's able to read these bombs and figure out which. Here's a question I have, is like, why did this guy put like stop buttons on his bomb? But anyway, like there's three buttons. I don't know what the middle one does, but one of the buttons on each bomb is the stop button, but it's not all the same color, so she has to read each bomb individually. So she can do it over a distance too, apparently. And so she's having to individually communicate with everyone and tell them which color button to push on their bomb. But the one that's strapped to Professor Sharp has no buttons on it, so Bionic One literally has to rip it off him and just throw it into the air and watch it explode.
What's funny too is he's like, it explodes in 5 seconds, and he pauses for at least 1 second.
Yeah.
Then he grabs it and like 20 seconds later throws it outside. And I'm like, I feel like either the timer was off or he was exaggerating.
Yeah.
It's got like 5 minutes left. He's like, oh, so we only got like 5 seconds. Hurry it up, people. Let's go.
He was exaggerating for a dramatic effect.
Don't make me turn this supercar around. Oh, one thing I noticed about the Perceptor. So his helmet's very shiny, right? Mm-hmm. And but this is the problem. When he moves, the glare on that helmet does not shift. But if he's standing still, for whatever reason, that glare is shifting all over the place. So I'm like, maybe, because then I was trying to be like, why is he the Perceptor? Maybe his power is just shifting the perception of light. And it just makes no sense.
There it is.
I mean, like, physics and like light physics basically had nothing to do with this episode. It was just all over the place. So, whatever.
We eventually find out that the Perceptor is blind after who uses their powers against him that kind of shuts off?
Rock One, the speed girl, just happens to have a device that gives him vertigo. Like, it does something to his ears. And it like disorients him really bad and gives him vertigo.
His ears are the only thing he has that are able to still sense things.
Yeah, he's basically Daredevil.
Because he's blind. And so then we get an explanation, I think even a flashback of what happened with him, where he was a former partner, a former associate of Professor Sharp's, and they were working together on this bionics development. But he was very much like, rush, rush, rush. Like, I want to try it out now. I want to, you know, we need to use this now. And Professor Sharp was on the side of, you know, there's a lot of experiments that we need to do still with it before we can release it. And so what this other professor does, Perceptor does, is, of course, experiments on himself. And in doing so, he ends up blinding himself and, I guess, giving himself these super abilities as well.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, we don't even know that he has super abilities. I mean, it could just be like, I don't know, maybe he's just done a lot of training because it seems like he's been kind of off the grid for a long time.
Yeah.
But maybe it gave him abilities. I don't know. I mean, it's another one of those things that they don't really explain it very well.
They don't, but you can assume that he got some kind of bionic abilities from it as well. But it's just an assumption because, like you said, they don't tell us.
Yeah, we're just guessing.
Yeah.
I love what happens towards the end, though, is like, so they find out about this new technology building thing that's been built, and it's having a grand opening or something the next day. So they're like, oh, that's totally going to be his next target. And of course it is. Mm-hmm. So they go there to confront him. It blows up and they're like, oh, we're too late. And well, I think he comes out and he's like, you're too late, blah, blah, blah. And then some guy comes running out, this like scientist. He's like, quick, you got to hurry. There's three children in there. And the Perceptor's like, oh no, like, what have I done? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why are there three children just hanging out in this giant like lab? Like,
well, this was a medical center, a medical facility. So
that wasn't even open yet, though, you know?
It was going to open the next day. Yeah. So these kids were in earlier than they should have been. And the Perceptor didn't know that, so he obviously wasn't perceptive enough. And so he bombs the place, and in doing so, he bombs the bacteria lab so that these chemicals will go through the complex, and anyone who goes in could go blind.
Blind.
Is basically how
dun,
the security
dun,
dude, yeah, explains it to us. So, of course, like, everyone else is like, what do we do? What do we do? And then Perceptor... like just runs off, and they're like, hold on, he's getting away. And then
he's like, blindness, my arch nemesis.
And then the mom's just like, no, he's going in to save the children. And I really liked that part. Like, I thought that was a really cool thing. That was a great redemption story for him.
Got it too. But I thought it was weird in that, like, you know, I thought it would be a, like, he does a good deed kind of thing, just because, you know, he's embracing that, like, I'm not going to kill, but like this technology has to stop kind of thing. But instead, it completely changes his character. Like, he saves them, and he's like, I'm a hero. Then he's, like, all chummy with everybody.
Yeah. Like, none of this happened up to this point. Like, he didn't rig six bombs on Professor.
Right, exactly. And, like, they all seem to be totally cool with him from that point on. Like, luckily, he grabs the children, he rolls them up in a blanket, and throws them over his back. Bionic One just slams a minivan that flies... yeah. Through this like fourth story window, and they hop in and they just fly away in this minivan. Then when they're talking and like make sure everything's okay, and they're like, oh, you did a good thing. He's like, yeah, this changes everything, and I'm going to make you proud and redeem myself. And he jumps out and like rolls onto the ground, and then he gets up and like waves to him like, bye, I'll miss you kind of thing. And you're just like, what?
Before he leaves, he's like, humanity will prevail, which is the same line that he used before. But in this way, he's using it in a different sense.
Like,
where
they'll prevail using technology.
Right.
Yay.
Instead of against it. And so, but then the family, I don't remember who says it exactly, but they're just like, I don't think that's the last time we're going to see him. And maybe it wasn't. Like, maybe he comes back in some later episodes, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, there are 45 more episodes after this one, so I'm sure he returns at some point.
And if not, it'll just be another one of those things that they just don't explain.
Yeah, which wouldn't surprise me.
Yes.
Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we bring our inner kids up to some snowy mountaintops to test out Professor Sharp's sweet V2 power skis in hopes it will be contaminated by alien radiation, forcing him to give us all untested bionic upgrades. But whatever ends up happening, we can at least see what our inner kids thought of Bionic 6.
I thought this cartoon might be kind of cheesy, and I was right. But it wasn't too bad. They were a pretty cool family, even though the dad was kind of weird and walked into people's bedrooms to watch them sleep. Kind of like my teacher, Mr. Shelley. But I'd love to get adopted by them so I could be Bionic too, and get superpowers like flying. Or maybe I could turn invisible and finally find out what happens at girls' slumber parties. So I gave this cartoon 3 bowls of Fluffy Flake cereal out of 5. Now, I need a code name. How about Pepperoni Pizza 1? Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Weird premise and painfully stereotypical characters aside, I really had a surprisingly exceptional time watching the show. The episodes had a decent amount of depth to them. The variety of powers amongst the heroes kept it interesting, and most of all, the animation was amazing for a show of its kind, especially during the fight scenes. All in all, I'd give Bionic 6 4 big bowls of Fluffy Flake cereal out of 5, and what I've learned from the show is that one way or another, I need powers of my own, even if it involves working for Dr. Scarab. But Chris, you go first. I want him to work the kinks out so I don't become Clunk Jr.
So what do you think your inner kid's name would be if he got the bionic powers?
I was like, what could they use? It would be very stereotypical when it came to me. And then I was thinking, like, probably glasses one, because I don't think anybody, well, actually JD wears glasses, but because I'm not going to be the smartest, because JD's already got that taken over.
Like, I mean, the other thing they did was, I mean, the two ethnic people they had, one they made IQ because he's smart. The other one, they just went with his race and made a stereotype.
Yeah.
And that, you would probably be like Muchacho One or like
Sombrero One.
Yes.
I like it.
Selling oranges on the side of the road one.
Right. Yeah. Twiddles one.
It says standing outside of Lowe's hoping to build something for you one.
Tacos one.
Yeah, I like it. So do you have any final thoughts about this show?
Even though it was like super cheesy, it was cheesy in a fun way. Like it wasn't one of those shows where I was super bored with it or anything. I was enjoying it because of just how like expected a lot of the dialogue was and just how corny some of it was. So it was corny in a fun way, not in a like, boring, I can't watch any more of this way. So it's a show that I would probably continue watching like with friends just so we could laugh at it and kind of do some commentary on it. But otherwise, I don't know that I'll watch the rest of it. Although if there is another Perceptor episode, I think I'll try to catch that one. I'm sure you've never heard of it. So if you're like us and you haven't, like check out a couple episodes, especially the Perceptor one, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, like we've established, it was cheesy, but it was wholesome. It was diverse. And it had some pretty cool action to it, which makes for a great family cartoon. It did get really ridiculous at times, but I didn't hate it. Though it could have used a little bit more thought, like maybe not calling the only Asian guy karate. Or, you know, maybe explaining what bionic is supposed to mean in this world. Or, you know, there's just a lot of things that weren't explained very well and just kind of left everything open. Maybe that was the plan. I just kind of feel like it could have been some oversight too. So a little more thought could have gone into it, but it wasn't bad. The guy voicing Dr. Scarab, like we said, was horrible, but like horrible to the point that it was hilarious, which gave it some extra points for me. So I don't really expect to watch any more of the show, but like, as you said, it's kind of fun to laugh and poke fun at. And there are some enjoyable aspects of it as well. So like as a kid during the time this aired, I'm sure that everyone would have loved it.
So obviously we enjoyed it for one reason or another. So thank you, Daniel, for suggesting this. A lot of fun. Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry. So it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week we'll be watching
The Toxic Crusaders, along with the hosts of the Childhood Remastered podcast, Sean and Chris.
So we're going to have two Chris. Chris's?
Yeah, dude. Double the Chris. Oh, Chris, man. Squared. Hope you're ready.
I'm not ready.
Two Chris's, bitches.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.